40.
Take it away.
Cup Dalit Amid Aleph,
top of the line. Top line. I'm a B'yeshev. Vital Shalom Madas Shachamar. That the cloak he wears is like a donkey's saddle, referring to somebody that buys his position. I'm a Rav Shain, so Shulam Nismani Kesef. Ain't I'm going to be part of it. If somebody buys a position, you don't stand up for him. You don't give him covered in crime. He said, Rebbe, Hatal Shalos Kavadas Shachamar, what he wears is nothing. Even though he's wearing but covered the clothing, and we say clothes make the man, but he's saying his clothes are like a donkey's. Rebbe Zeir of Akadman Rabban Havi Yisivan, Arachamin Elend of Nismani Bekasaf. So one of the people, they were sitting, these Reb Zeira and one of the other rabbis was sitting together, right? And then some guy was walking by, been appointed through money. So Amar Yosei, the Min Rabban and Reb Zeira. So one of the rabbis said to Reb Zeira, no, but Nashon Tanya, let's posture ourselves like we're studying. That we won't have to stand up for him. Basically, he wants to try to not give him covet, but he wants to make it in a way in which he's not showing that he's being vayish and objecting to the government position. Okay, Tergum Yaakov Ishkarg Varaya. He expounded the following. In our Tergum, his job is he's usually a Torgumer, which means that you usually have a Chacham who's saying a Drasha, and the Torgumer would go ahead and shout out the Drasha. Now this person, Yaakov Ishkarg Varaya, he is a Torgumer, and he is standing there in front of one of these guys that paid for the position. And the guy who's paying for, who was the paid darshan, doesn't have anything to say. So the Torgumer is standing there waiting to hear something. So he figures, well, since he doesn't have anything to say, I'm going to say. And this is what he said.
This is amazing
tomorrow. Yes. Hayava uri la'evan dumam. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to dumb stone, arise. Obviously, he's referring to the person he's standing in front of. This is a pasuk in Chavakuk. Hu yoreh? Can it teach? Yodeh hu yoreh? Does he know how to render halakhic decisions? Hinei hu tofas zahav v'kasef. He's full of gold and silver. Lo v'kas payis money. Was he not appointed to the payment of money? Ho ruach ein kirbo. He has no ruach at all. He has nothing. L'chakim klum. He's b'klam not smart. Haviyam be'isim emanya. So you'll say, who should we appoint if not this guy? Hashem Behechel Kacho, that's the answer. The Torah scholar who serves Hashem in his sanctuary, he's the person that you should appoint. For example, Harib Yitzchak Bar Le'ozer, Bechnishna Medarta, the Kaser, and he can be found in the synagogue of Caesarea and Medarta. Okay, he's the guy you should have hired. Instead, this guy, who's a faker, he bought the position, and tough luck. Okay, this is the kind of darshan you want to have. Rabbi Ami Shaul Rabbi Simon, Shemata Shemanim Zekenim Bechus Laaretz. So Rabbi Ami asked Rabbi Simon, did you hear that they appoint elders outside the land of Israel? Now here it's talking about smicha, right? Mamanim here means smicha. So did you hear that smicha? Remember, smicha in the old days was smicha from someone who was samach mipi, ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So that has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. So, did you hear? If they appoint elders outside of Israel? So a Malay, he says, Shemati she'enu manam zekenim chutzlar. So no, you can't do smicha. Rav Levi, v'lo mikra malehu, isn't it a fair pasuk? Ben Adam beis Yisrael, yoishrael ad mosam, son of man. The house of Israel dwell, Yoshvim, upon their land. Yeshiva, which means it's a reference to a chair of authority, the yeshiva of a dayan, right? That should take place only on your land. Okay, this is Mefarish and Rambam, by the way, Mefarish and Halach and Shulchan Aruch. This is passed in the beginning of Hilchos Dayanim. This din, I'm learning Aruch HaShulchan with my son-in-law on Sundays. This din about smicha, I learned with him this morning. So it was like, I don't believe this. It's like, I learned this morning where randomly came across. Rabbanim
d'kisser and am. How does it work today?
It doesn't work. It's where shlichusayu avdina. We do the shlichas. It's not the same smicha. It's a reshus, not the paskin, so you shouldn't be paskin. Normally not a paskin while your Rebbe is alive even, because you don't have a right to paskin. So it's reshus for you to paskin shalom b'fonav. That's what smicha means nowadays. Okay, Rabbanu de Kisun Amrin, Manu de Kenem Chuslar, so Nas Lachso. You can appoint them if they are going to come home, right? They come back to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael Akbar Nachman, have a Ba'azia, he was in Aza, and which is outside Eretz Yisrael, Manuri, when Nas Lachsar, they did appoint him on the condition he come back. Of Smino, have a Bitsar. You see, Gaza is not in Eretz Yisrael. That's right.
We don't know where God, where this Gaza is.
Exactly. It's not, whatever. Well, we're just going to assume for now. And one was in Tyre, which is where again?
Lebanon.
It's Lebanon. So my Nas are again to return. There's a shaila here whether if a person is in the Mekaymas, Shekoshu Yaitse Mitzrayim, and not Koshu Ole Bavel, could you do smicha there? The Aruch HaShulchan brings down that some people say you can.
Is Gaza?
Yeah.
He was in Eretz Yisrael. He was listed in the authorizing document together with Reb Zemima as one of the smuchim to be ordained. He wouldn't accept the ordination. Until my Rebbe gets appointed to be ordained. In other words, he didn't want to accept smicha before his Rebbe got smicha. He felt it was a chutzpah to go ahead of his Rebbe. Umina Rebbe, and indeed, Reb Zemina was ordained first and returned to Eretz Yisrael, and then he ordained Reb Yonah himself.
Where?
In Eretz Yisrael. On Reb Chama, Yehuda ben Titus have a Baromi. Yehuda ben Titus was in Rome, obviously. We know who that is.
So, that name.
What?
That name.
Which one?
Yehuda ben Titus.
Titus, yeah.
Is that the same Titus?
No. Look at the
footnote. 18.
Yeah.
In the Mutzumai Eish, the name is amended to Titum, because it's unlikely a Jew would be named Titus. Yeah, that's a really bad name. It's like, you know, like there's a Gemara, I think, above a Bas where it says Esav Simon. Remember that Gemara? It uses Esav as a Simon. We all tumbled about that too. Shimbar Va. Now, this is a very interesting Gemara. Shimbar Va, great, I got it to hear. Shimbar Va have a the Damascus, Rav Shimon bar Va was in Damascus. V'ismanam dakikin minei, and less eminent men than him were ordained. They were appointed to positions of prominence. Who list money, and he was not ordained. Now the Marafolda here says, because, let's see, do you see it? No, he says differently. He says, he was not appointed Lo Yizochel, you see the it's next to where it says Hagros Maraf. Lo Yizochel is Nina Mitzad Mazolo. So he had a bad mazel. We see this all the time. A person can be very, very bright, but somehow his mazel, he does not matzliach to get a position. It happens all the time. Shimon bar Va have a bakim of Margalisa b'chalmila, and Shimon bar Va had this. He was an expert jeweler. He knew about pearls. And yet, he didn't have a loaf of bread to eat, and even though he had this very high-paying skill, but he had no food to put on the table. Rabbi Yochanan Kari Alei, Rabbi Yochanan used to say this following pasuk on him, Gam lo lachachamim lachem, that the chacham don't have bread. Where's that pasuk? 22. It's Koheles. Yeah. Omar, kol mishri in a makam maisa shal avinu, yakam maisa avaisa shal zeh. If you don't recognize Avraham Avinu's Maisim, if you don't recognize those, at least recognize this person who's alive in front of you. In other words, he was a Baal Maisim. He was a Shimon bar Va was a big tzaddik. So he's a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, and everything. And yet he's not matzliach.
You hear what the footnote says? V'zonas Av Shaladam Tu'enum Tlui B'chachmato Ela B'mazal Shenolad Bo.
Exactly.
Not what you know, it's who you know.
It's a lineup of
where
the stars. Yeah.
Plenty of people would like this. I'm telling you, it was like this in the olden days, like it came later in modern days too.
Shimon bar Va have a Kadmaskus. Shimon bar Va was
he went
up to Eretz Yisrael for the following reason. Ushlach le Rebavu Chada Igra, and so Rabbi Vuhu sent him this letter. V'hav min sevase begave. He placed a few of his white hairs inside the letter. Okay? What we're saying, see, what's happening is Shimon bar Ba is outside Eretz Yisrael. He's receiving a letter from Rabbi Vuhu, who is in Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
And in the letter, he cut off some of his gray hair, put it in the letter, to let him know, I'm getting old, begin Elaine, because of these white hairs, of this older person. So come up to Eretz Yisrael, where I am, because he needs assistance, and he needs some help. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan had died already, and this is an expression of who would take the dirt off of Rabbi Yochanan's eyes to see this amazing scene. So, Bavu Rigliyosa Ismane lowly.
What? What is the amazing scene?
The scene of Rabbi Vu trying to get Rav Shimon bar Ba to come up, I guess.
No, I see it on the bottom. That is, would Rabbi Yochanan be resurrected from the dead? He was their teacher.
Yeah, so he's saying, Halavai, they should see this scene. Okay, Abavu Rigluysoya Ismane. So Loli Abavu was appointed. Shimon de Miafraya lo Ismane. While eminent Shimon was not appointed. In other words, Abavu recognized that Shimon Barva was smarter than he, and knew more than he was. But yet he had the position. He got the gig. Okay, next. HaChalil Makalof Ne'emad Shimon Gimil Maharbayas, that they used to play the flute. Until they reached the Temple Mount, Yul Harabayas, they reached there.
That kind of strange word, though. Maka means to play.
Yeah.
Hit.
Yeah, because you're hitting the holes.
That's what they call.
Yes, maka. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Lightly hit. Yul Harabayas, they reached there. So now, so the idea here is the way the Rambam describes this is like this. That, and on the road, you could be handing it off to your servants to carry, because maybe it's heavy, whatever. But when you get there, right, you have this thing with the ox. you got to drop it already, all right?
You have four to people with one ox. Where are they putting
it? This thing with the. I'm sure you had this. You probably saw a picture. I'm sure you saw the same painting I did, where they have an ox carrying all the fruit.
Yeah.
But that's an artist rendition.
Where did you picture? I didn't see it.
Someplace.
Google.
All right. Higil Harabayas. Once you get to the Harabayas, Afilo Gufis Hamelech, even a king, Noitel Hasalach Sefer Venefa. See, you don't have anybody helping you at this point.
Right. Until now, you could put it on the ox. Once you get to Jerusalem, you've got to carry it yourself.
Harabayas. Correct. Ashur Megiel Azor, you get to the temple courtyard. Elamid Beis, Abdalam Beis. The Dural Avim Bashir, when the Levim break out in song, Arimcha Hashem Kidid Soni Veloisimach Doi Vaili. It's a question as to why this particular capital was taken, was selected. Mizra Shechon Ugas Abayis Adavid starts off with that, so it's special. Anyway, also mentioned Simcha. It says that you're going to be...
Maybe that's what David sang, and that's why they continue to sing it then.
Why now? Why at the
because
time they're bringing...
Because the tradition.
The tradition of what?
That's what you
The
sing.
Tradition of what?
That they sing it when you bring the Bikurim.
David started singing this capital?
Well...
Why would he start this capital? And we were trying to figure out the connection between this capital and the Bikurim. That's the question. Whether it was David that started it, it could be, but I still need to know what the connection is.
Oh.
Anyway.
Footnote 2
here, it says, this psalm may have been chosen to accompany the bringing of Bikurim because of the nature of the participants. The large gathering of Bikurim bearers from many towns all converging upon the Beis HaMikdash together in festival celebration may have been reminiscent of the inaugural celebration referred to in the first verse. Okay? Okay, so let's go back. Hagazolois shall gabi hasalim, hoyu oilois.
You missed the second paragraph.
We want you to read the second paragraph.
I am on purpose not reading it.
Okay. The boss
Thank you. Hagoslaus shall gabi salam, in the interest of time, Hagozol shall gabi hasalam hoyu oilus. Now, there were young birds that were on the baskets. They were all the offerings. And then they also, in addition to being on the baskets, they were also gozlos that were being carried in their hands that they were giving to the Kohanim.
How did they do both?
They tied them
to
the
basket.
No.
How'd they carry
them
in their hands and the basket? I guess
they
carried
them in
their hands.
They had a little
birdie cage.
I mean, I think it's possible. They could carry a basket with one hand and a gozo with the other hand. I mean, it's not the hardest thing. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara is going to talk about whether it was the ones that were on the basket were the olos, and what was in your hands you're giving the kohanim, or was it the other way around, were the ones in your hands were the olos, and the ones in the basket were the given to the kohanim? It's questionable. Okay.
Because it says here that they were on the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll address that in a little bit.
Odenu asal k'stefo, while the basket was on his shoulder, korei. Now, I it's really worthwhile just to, you know, just turn back to the Hagdama of the Masechta, okay?
We'll
get a chumash. But it's right here in the beginning, over here, scriptural passages. And it's right before page 1a. So it says over there, right? Right? So that's the first pasuk, is there's a stop there. Then there's an insert pasuk, and it says over there, so there's an instruction now. So what's happening is this is the Tanakama Shita. No, one second. What I'm saying now is the Tanakama Shita is that there is no break. You say Higarati Hayom Lashem Lakecha, and you continue all the way down to Rami Avidavi. Okay, even though there's instructions there in Pasuk Dalet and the beginning of Pasuk K. No, I'm talking about Dalet and Hay is the Shaiwa. It says in the middle of the Haggadah of Higarati Hayom, there's an instruction. That's certainly not what he's reading. That's an instruction.
Right.
So that's the question. So that's the Gemara. So the Tanakama holds. Okay? He's Korei, Mehigarati Hashem Hayom Hashem Alkecha, Achu Gomer Kol HaParsha. So he finishes the entire Parsha, so he goes all the way down to that put the end over there of Yud. Period. Then it says, right? So you're reading the whole thing at once, according to the Tanakhama.
Do you think that they did it as a group and they all said it together?
No. They did it individually. Yeah, this is Chivon, every Yochin to say this parsha. Uh-huh. Right. Now, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama, and we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, by the way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adarami Avi, Avid Avi, that what would happen was he would say, up until the instruction, not like a Tanakhama, he would say, Higarati Hayom, right? In the middle of Pasuk Gimel, Higarati Hayom, up until the end of that Pasuk, and then, like the Pasuk says, V'lokach HaKohen HaTenami Yodecha. Now, I just want you to understand that there's a repetition in the parasha over here. Look in Pasuk Dalet, it says Vehinichol L'Fnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha, right? Now, if you go all the way down to Pasuk Yud, it says after he finishes reading the parasha, it says Vehinachto L'Fnei Hashem Elokecha. So what is it? Why is there two Hinichos in the parasha? That is a core question over here. All right?
Maybe they picked it up again in between.
So let's see what it says over here. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Adarami Avi Avi. He first reads the first pasuk. Higiel Arami Avi Avi, Moirid Hasam in a Ksefo. So this is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. He's taking it off his shoulder. He holds it at the top, on the sides. of a coin when the exodus tacks off, the coin puts his hands underneath the basket, right? And they wave it. They wave it the same way you wave a lulav, it says. And then me'arami avid avi, adshu korek as kol ha'parsha me'nichem tzad ha'adama. And then you read, in other words, because of a kore, you go ahead and you read to the end of the parsha. All right? Umeinichem tzad ha'mizbeach, mi'ishtachave v'yotza. Now, just want to show you that the I'll show you where the Likut Mishnois Eliyahu. You see the on the bottom right. There's a Likut from the Gra.
Yeah.
So that's where he brings down this question that I just mentioned to you. That it says a Nicho. And the Gra says, Hamani Makayim, the first white line, he says, Inato, it should be the Hinicho. It's backwards. The Gra changes the Girsa. Havi Oimer Zutnufa. So that's the Drasha of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is learning that one Vihinicho is referring to the Tnufa, and the Vihinato at the end of the Parsha is talking about the actual putting it down on the floor. And that's why there are two words, Vihinicho and the Parsha. Okay? So that's the makor of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. It's very important to understand that. Because according to the Tanakhama, there is no Tnufa, period. The Tnufa is only according to Shita Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Tanakhama, you come in, you read the whole Parsha, and then you put it down. There is no Tnufa with the Kohen. This whole Mishnah that we're going now is according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita.
What does the Tanakhama do with the first Vihinato?
Hinicho. What does he do with the Hinicho? That's the question. I don't know the answer to that question offhand. I don't remember. It probably says it someplace. But I'm going to Halacha now. We pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? Next. Barishano, Komishin Yedea Likres Kare, Komishin Yedea Likres Makron, in the beginning, whoever knew how to read, read, and then afterwards, anybody who didn't know how to read, we read for him. Nakron mean not we read for him. We would read it mila by mila. I would say Arami, you would say Arami. As long as you have a basic understanding of what you're talking about, good enough. If it was just French to you, Rav Chaim writes that if it was like French and you don't understand anything of it, you would not be Yotze. It has to be a Kriya. We have at least a high level of understanding what you're talking about.
And it has to be in Hebrew.
Nimnu Lahavi, so they stopped ringing because they were embarrassed. Iskinushu Makranus, Mishu Yidemus, Mishu Yidea. Sounds familiar. All the people that know suffer because of those who don't know. Harashem Avinas Bikurayim, Beklosis Shal Kesav Shal Zav, Hanim Avin Oysam Besalin Yitzram Shal Rav and Klufin. That the rich people brought with silver and gold, and the poor people brought with the plain wicker baskets. And Hasalam Habikurim, Mitla Kohanim, and the baskets and the Bikurim were given to the Kohanim, meaning if it belonged to the poor person, if it was the rich person, it was given back to the Kohen, the silver and the gold. The Rambam's lashon is...
What do you mean given back to the Kohen?
Given back to the owner.
Previously.
The owner. So the Kohen would take the basket, he would take the fruit out of the basket, and then he returned the silver or gold basket back to the owner. So the Basar Anya Azli Anyusa is what the Rav and quotes in the Mishnah's famous Maimer, that a person who is poor gets poorer. That's the way it always is. Okay?
Here it says that the baskets were given to the Kohanim.
But then they gave it back. It says at the end of the Mishnah. You see? Let somebody find it here. Let's go to 24B3. At the end, in that latter case, the baskets as well as the Bikurim are given to the Kohanim.
22.
The plain baskets are given to the Kohanim to keep. This is not, however, the case regarding the gold or silver.
Sounds a little wrong to me. You would think that the Aniyim, if anything, you'd give them back their baskets and keep the Kohanim.
Normal experience.
What's that?
Which guy shows up, has a gold thing, what is on the end that are right?
See, he mentions this in the drush. He says that because you have to make a matonah to the Kohen, so the poor person usually would have such a small amount to give to him to begin with from a fruit perspective, So at least this way, you know, it's packaged, you know, like those cheap soft molasses. They come in a fancy wrap thing and it, you know, it's filled with tissues and stuff. So at least it looks nice. Very good. Yeah. You get my drift.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Gamar, Rav Huna Amar.
Only a case of wine.
Rav Huna Amar. Rav Huna says. Rav Huna says. Let's go, guys. Rav Huna Amar. We're almost finished here. Kani Mas Nisa. This is the correct version of the Mishnah. In other words, if you read the Mishnah, this is not so easy to understand what he's trying to say over here. The Mishnah sounds like
he's going to say it now in the Gemara.
He is. I don't know. Okay, I'll try it. This is the correct version of the Mishnah. The Lokach HaKohen HaTenem Yadecha. It doesn't say Lokach HaKohen HaTenem Yadecha anywhere in the Mishnah.
Oh no, but it says it in the pasuk.
Yeah. So what is he saying? Where is he beginning over here? So
after stating that.
And only after the Bikurim were given to the Kohanim would the Levim begin their song. In other words, when you read the Mishnah, it says you came into the Azara, and the Mishnah says V'dibru HaLevim B'shir, right? That's what it says.
Yeah, the phrase that the Bikurim will be given to the Kohanim is missing.
It says Higil HaRabayis Afilu Biv Samelach Noitel Asal Sefer Nigel Sanchu Magil Azara V'dibru HaLevim B'shir, and then it says later on. It says, he gives it to the coin a little further down, right? Doesn't ever really say it. All the way at the end of the mission, the very last statement of the mission is, Hasalam Harbikurim Nitla Kohanim. But that's not really the order, apparently. The order of it is, I think that's what he's trying to say here, right? You agree with me? That the Lokach HaKohen HaTenem Yadecha is what came first, and then the Levim started to say the Shira. Is that the way you understood the...
Put the food down and see what's going on before I decide what I'm going to sing.
I don't know if you're putting
quality,
the food down.
Isn't that high quality?
Yeah.
Once he enters the Chatzir, he gives it to the Kohen, and then the Levim is singing. They must be singing all day, because, you know, that.
A lot of people
coming in.
It was on a loop. The cassette that keeps on going back, you know, keeps on playing. It goes from one to the next.
Yeah. So then he says the following. According to this version, the Kohen would have to give the Bikurim back to the owner for him to make the Bikurim declaration with the Bikurim on his shoulder and complete the ceremony as recounted in the Mishnah. When the ceremony was over, then the Kohanim would take their Bikurim that had been given to him in the beginning. So you got that? So it's a little confusing. This Gemara is adding in a whole Nesina to the Kohen, which is missing from the Mishnah. Came to the Azara, gives it to the Kohen, the Levim starts saying, Aramim HaShem Kidlisoni, the Kohen is giving me back my basket. Then I start doing my Kriya, Arami Avidavi, and so on, either according to the Tanakhama to the end, or according to Yehuda, up until the end of the first Pasuk, and then he takes it again, and we do the Tzrufa, we eat together, and then he takes it. So there's a double Nesina. Okay. Next, is Tani Mikhalef, today Lismach Matan Lomatanus. So there's a Tana who has it reversed, in terms of the gift. According to this version, the Levim sang immediately upon the Bikurim's owner's entry to the courtyard, followed by the owner's Bikurim declaration, after which he gave the birds to be offered on the altar and the Bikurim to the Kohen. So what is this trying to say? So there's a dispute as to what happens immediately after the Bikurim owners enter the courtyard. Do the Levim sing? Do they give the Bikurim to the Kohen with the song following? It's a little confusing over here.
Nobody really knows.
Where do the birds come in all of a sudden? I don't know. Tani Rabbi Yaisi, Lohina Noisina Sangazi Sangama Salam, they wouldn't place the birds directly over the baskets. Shulianabla Bikurim, we don't want them to foul up the food, right, with excretions. Alotoilos and Kustasam, they were hanging on the sides of the baskets. So you had some which were hanging on the sides of the baskets, and some which were in my hands. Okay? Tani chad sav kumi Rav Zeira. There's one elder who said that hoizul higanati hayom, that he would, that, you know, for, he came into the Azara, he would say higanati hayom l'shem lokecha, and then he goes to the kohen and he has the kohen holding the basket. V'chozer v'kore means he would go back and start the parasha all over again, and he'd say higanati hayom l'shem lokecha.
Multiple,
he would say it again.
No,
well, there's the same guy. This is the same guy. This one elder said that he would go back to saying he got the Hayom. So the Gemara asked Akasha, if he yesh chayzer maged, right? Maged chayzer maged. We know that you can't, once you say Hagana once, you don't say it twice. We had that earlier, right? So the Gemara says, Taimanuho kvar higarati. So that would mean, the higarati then would mean, not that I said it, but I already said higanati. That was what higanati would mean. So thus, the first time he makes the actual declaration. The second time he says, he's repeating his previous declaration and proceeds to do so. It's a funny thing. The first time he's addressing the Kohen as he gives the Kohen the Bikurim as a gift. That's the way a farmer gives Truma to a Kohen. Right? That's the first mitzvah. Then, after he takes possession, he borrows them back to, so to speak, just before Hashem in fulfillment of the verse. The owner is saying to Hashem that he is, what he said to the Kohen, he's gratefully fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikurim. It's kind of like, let's read the summary over here. In summary, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda dispute at least three issues. The Tanakhama maintains, A, there's no mitzvah to waive the Bikurim at all. B, the Bikurim passage is read twice, once before the Bikurim were given to the Kohen, once afterwards. C, the placement of the Bikurim next to the altar is essential. If Yehuda maintains, A, there is a mitzvah to waive, B, the Bikurim passage is read once, part of it before the waving, part of it afterwards. C, the placement next to the altar is a mitzvah, but not essential. So there you have, right. So that's I forgot to mention, that's the answer to the question that you asked me before. This is one of the most important points here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. I'm surprised I forgot to answer you. It says v'hinicho, and then it says v'hinachto. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what does the first hinicho mean? It means you're doing snufo with the kohen. And the hinachto on the end of the parasha is you're putting it next to the mizbeach. According to the Tanakhama, what's v'hinicho mean? V'hinicho and v'hinachto both are saying the same thing. But it's shon alayim ha'kosav la'akev. It's in any Indian in Mikdash, when it's repeated twice, it's ma'akev. So according to the Tanakhama, it's repeated because it's trying to tell us that this hanocha by the mizbeach is ma'akev the ma'is ha'va. In other words, if you don't have the hanocha, the payers don't become mutter. I wasn't ma'akev the mitzvah of the hanocha before. According to Rav Yehuda, the matir, the actual matir of what's matir the bikurim ba'achila is when I give it to the kohen.
Giving
is not the tumcha. The giving to the kohen. Once
which,
I give, oh.
Which giving to the coin? The first one? The first Enoch?
Well, I don't think the Rambam brings two Nesinas. I don't remember that.
There's only one. There's
no,
one
it was just
the coin, and the other one is put at the mitzvah. The Sinai Shemal Kappa.
Yeah, that's a mitzvah.
One is to the coin, one is to the
floor.
That's the way I always thought about it.
Yeah. Okay. we'll clarify this more tomorrow. Okay, Kol Tov.